So we'll start again by singing the Angelus, which you'll find in the booklets. Hopefully everyone has one on the first page. Yeah, we can stand for that. Angelus Domini, nuncigavit Mariae, eret concepit de Spiritu Sancto. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Erece Ancillare Domini, dirigat mihi qui secundum verbum tuum. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Et verbum Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Ora pro nobis Sancta Dei Genetrix. Oremus, gratiam tuam quesumus Domine mentibus nostris infunde, ut qui angelo nunciante Christi filii tui incarnationem coniovimus, per passionem eius et crucem ad resurrectionis gloriam perducamur, periundem Christum Dominum nostrum. So please be seated. I hope this chant of the Angelus will encourage you. If you don't already, be sure to say the Angelus 3 times a day. It's a traditional practice for Catholics, and it's very sanctifying. It's the most important thing that's ever happened in the history of the world, the incarnation of the Son of God, which is why it's so we commemorate it 3 times a day. And by doing that, especially if we can do it together as a family, it gets us back on track. It reminds us what's important, what we're here for. So, in the first 2 days of this mission, we've spoken a little about the two vocal prayers, which we recite in the Most Holy Rosary, the Our Father and the Hail Mary, and we've seen how excellent these prayers are, and how vital they are for our spiritual lives. The Our Father contains all the petitions for all that we should ask for, and in the precise order in which we should ask for it. And above all, it reminds us of this fundamental truth that's by far the most important thing in our lives, namely that by divine grace, we are partakers of the divine nature, and thus in all truth, veritable sons of God, who truly is our Father. and the Hail Mary by repeating the salutation by which the angel obtained of Mary her consent to the salvation of the world through the Incarnation, obtains from her salvation now for each one of us. These prayers, however, as excellent as they are, do not yet constitute the prayer that we call the Holy Rosary, which the Blessed Virgin revealed to Saint Dominic. They are but its matter. The form that specifies this prayer is still lacking. This form that specifies the Rosary, that characterizes it, that makes it what it is, distinguishing it from all other prayers, is the meditation of the mysteries that accompanies the recitation of the Our Fathers and the Hail Marys. This is what St. Louis de Montfort says in his book on the Rosary entitled The Secret of the Holy Rosary, which is a book we heartily recommend to you, a book which every Catholic should read. In this book, St. Louis de Montfort writes, "The Rosary, said without the meditation on the sacred mysteries of our salvation, would be almost a body without a soul. Excellent matter, but without the form, which is the meditation, and which distinguishes it from other devotions. The 15 mysteries," he says, "are the 15 flowers of the mystical rose tree on which devout souls linger, like discerning bees, to gather their nectar and make the honey of a solid devotion." And he goes on to explain something which is very important and to which each of us must pay great attention because our salvation depends on it. "The chief concern of the Christian soul," he says, "should be to tend to perfection. Be faithful imitators of God as his well-beloved children," the great apostle tells us. "This obligation is included in the eternal decree of our predestination as the one and only means prescribed by God to attain everlasting glory." And did you hear that, dear brethren? I'm going to repeat it because it's very important and there's a lot of errors about this today. This obligation, that is, to be faithful imitators of God as his well-beloved children, as St. Paul says, this obligation is included in the eternal decree of our predestination as the one and only means prescribed by God to attain everlasting glory. So don't let anyone fool you then. Heaven is not for everyone. It's not something that everybody attains automatically, as the ecumenist way, so that anyone, whatever religion they belong to, can go to heaven. No. And it's not just for everyone who believes in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, as the Protestants would have us believe. No. It's uniquely, exclusively, for those who are faithful imitators of God as his well-beloved children, as St. Paul says. Or as we heard St. Louis de Montfort say yesterday, we must be true images of God or be eternally lost. That's why this agreement that was signed some years ago now between the Lutheran Church and the Vatican on the crucial theological question of justification is so bad. Because this agreement says that the conciliar church says that we and the Protestants have the same doctrine on this question of justification. And yet, what the Protestants say, the Lutherans say about justification, contradicts explicitly what we just heard St. Louis de Montfort say, which is simply the Catholic doctrine on justification, namely that the sole way to be justified before God is truly to turn from sin and do good works, to become faithful imitators of God. Luther says faith alone is enough to be justified before God. We don't need works. But works, in fact, are absolutely necessary. They are included in the eternal decree of our predestination as the one and only means prescribed by God in it to attain everlasting glory. So then, dear brethren, we must become virtuous. We must be converted. We must become imitators of God. We must, as St. Louis Montfort says, be true images of Christ or be eternally lost. And that is precisely what the Most Holy Rosary is for. It's the principal reason that the Blessed Virgin gave it to us. That's what St. Louis de Montfort goes on immediately to say. It was in order to help us, he says, in this important work of our predestination, which is accomplished by tending to perfection, that the Blessed Virgin commanded St. Dominic to teach the faithful to meditate upon the sacred mysteries of the life of Jesus Christ. She did this not only that they might adore and glorify him, but chiefly that they might pattern their lives and actions on his virtues. So this is the fundamental reason of the power of the Most Holy Rosary for our salvation, because it fits us for heaven by really conforming us to Jesus Christ, by transforming us to make us really resemble him. Because if we don't, we can't go to heaven. It's that simple. So don't let anyone deceive himself. Our Lady gave us the rosary chiefly, says St. Louis de Montfort, so that we might pattern our lives and actions on the mysteries of the life and death of Jesus, that we meditate there. That's why we say in the prayer, we often say at the end of the rosary, grant that by meditating on these mysteries, we might obtain what they promise. That we might imitate what they contain and obtain what they promise. Because if we don't imitate what they contain, we won't obtain what they promise. So we mustn't think, as Protestants do, that it's enough to go to heaven to simply believe in Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. We have to do that, obviously. But it's not enough. We must also pattern our lives and our actions on his virtues. And the Holy Rosary is a powerful means to do just that. First of all, by proposing to us this perfect model of virtue, which is Jesus Christ. This is one of the reasons that God became man, to show us how we must live in order to go to heaven, to attain our beatitude. Thus St. Augustine writes, man who might be seen was not to be followed, because he was a bad example. But God was to be followed who could not be seen. And therefore God was made man, that he who might be seen by man and whom man might follow might be shown to man. So in the mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary, we see this perfect model to follow, and we learn how we must act in order to be saved. Thus St. John of the Cross writes, don't imitate the saints, because the devil will make you look at their faults and so lead you astray. Imitate rather Christ, and he alone, for he has no faults. He is our light and our example. However, that's not all. The Rosary not only shows us how we must act to be saved, Because if it only did that, we might well be tempted to despair, because weak, miserable sinners that we are, we feel that this model proposed to us in the Rosary is too much for us. The meditation of the Rosary not only shows us how Jesus lived, if we meditate on the mysteries as they should be meditated on, that is, with faith enlivened by charity, we receive from these mysteries the grace that they contain, which enables us, little by little, to come to imitate better and better the virtues that they show us and to live as Jesus lived. To help you understand this very important point, I'm simply going to read to you some quotes of three Dominican authors who explain it much better than I could. Listen carefully to what they say, because it reveals the secret of the immense sanctifying power of the Rosary, if we pray it properly. The first author is Father Hugon, a great theologian at Rome at the time of St. Pius X. He wrote a whole book, a beautiful book on the Rosary, where he writes, "Jesus is the great reservoir from which all men must draw in order to be saved. He is the vast ocean of grace. But the humanity of the Word merited grace for each of us by each of the mysteries. One sees from that, then, that by meditating on the Rosary, we are in contact with the source from which salvation comes to us. Because it's by these precious acts of our Lord that we commemorate in the mysteries of the Rosary that we are saved." And he goes on to explain how the meditation serves as an intermediary to communicate to us the grace of each mystery. "By the very fact that we are piously united by our meditation to the mysteries that operated our salvation, actual graces flow from this meditation. As the Gospel says, it sufficed to touch the garments of the Savior to be healed. Each mystery of the Rosary, what is it if not a fringe of the divine mantle? As soon as we begin to recite the Aves, we touch in a way the divine fringe. May we not hope, then, that power will come out from it to heal us? Virtue went out from him and healed all," says St. Luke. That is, all those who touched our Lord. "The mystery which expiated pride will give us particular graces to practice humility. The mystery which expiated impurity will have a special power to make us chaste. And so on for the other mysteries. Our Lord is like a great sun that illumines every man who comes into the world. The Rosary exposes us to his light and his heat." And he explains the profound reason why these mysteries, these actions of our Lord, have such a power. Namely, because of his hidden divinity, which imbues them with divine grace, and so communicates this grace to us through these actions. That's why we call them mysteries. There's something hidden in these actions that we contemplate of our Lord, because he wasn't just a man, he was God. Father Hugon explains, "The Apostle St. John recalls with a sweet leap of joy that his hands had touched the Word of Life. What our hands have handled of the Word of Life," he says. "In the Rosary, we have a similar good fortune. We touch this man whose name is honey on our lips, Christ Jesus. But in this man, there is no part that is not entirely penetrated by the divinity. The hypostatic union is this ineffable unction that has consecrated Christ. All the oil of the divinity has been poured out on the humanity of the Word and inundated it, penetrated it completely. This mysterious oil has penetrated as well all the actions of our Lord. When this heart sighs, it's a God who sighs. When this soul shudders, it's a God who shudders. In order to arrive at the divinity, then, it isn't necessary to leave the rosary. The divinity is there in the rosary, acting, animating, embalming the whole mystery. Let us not stop at the rind. Let us penetrate to the marrow. The rind is the exterior event. The marrow is the interior of Jesus, his heart, his soul, his divinity. Let us shelter ourselves for a moment in these adorable abysses, and perhaps we might receive some little part of this joyous unction that made Jesus the most beautiful among the children of men. Another Dominican author, Father Perinel, says the same thing, explaining how we must pass by means of the meditation of the mysteries to a contact with the grace they contain. Support yourself firmly on the concrete images of each mystery, he writes, but then go further. Through the scenes contemplated, seize by your faith the mystery of Christ, the double mystery of his divinity and of his present action on you. Christ is not a figure of the past, but the great living one. Take account of the actual union which unites you to your Savior, and while contemplating the mysteries of his earthly pilgrimage, turn towards him in the depth of your soul. Turn towards him in the mysteries themselves. For even though they belong to the past insofar as they are historical events, they remain present by their power. In them, even unto death, he has merited for you, and he communicates to you their merit. They continue to act thus upon you and produce upon you the effect of holiness. A great and consoling truth, one that must incite you to draw towards yourself their beneficent power. How, you ask? By putting yourself in spiritual contact with them. How? By faith. He touches Christ who believes in him, says St. Augustine. Thus, in contemplating these mysteries, open yourself to their influence. Aspire to their grace by your desire, and Christ present in you will give it to you. Offer yourself to them like a mirror, and they will engrave in you their likeness. So this, then, is how we can become true images of Christ so that we might be saved. It's by contemplating his mysteries in the most holy rosary so that they can engrave in us their likeness. Finally, another Dominican, Father Vessier, whom we cited often already, repeats the same doctrine. One must endeavor, he writes, to penetrate oneself with the spirit of the mystery. One must seek communion with the grace of the mystery more than a meditation. The act accomplished by Jesus and Mary in the mystery that we meditate belongs to the past, but the grace of the mystery remains in Jesus and in Mary, in order to be communicated to us. We must not see in the mystery solely a model of virtue to imitate. We must ask for ourselves the grace of the mystery. Thus, in the flagellation, we must ask for the purity of Jesus. In the crucifixion, his absolute detachment from everything. In the rosary is found a remedy against the failings we can commit in our lives. It is the true source of the fervor that must animate our whole life more and more. Continue then to pray the Holy Rosary, prayer that's so pleasing to Mary and so sanctifying, so powerful. But enter into its spirit. Penetrate yourself with the grace that is intimate to it. Desire and seek Jesus in each of the mysteries that present him to you. Don't stop at a mere intellectual contemplation. Communicate with your heart and soul with the grace of the mystery, while your lips say the Aves and incline on your knees the maternal heart of Mary. The rosary is an hour of intimacy with Jesus and Mary in the forgetfulness of everything else. It brings us to what is most intimate in Christian life in order to penetrate us with its grace and vivify us more and more continuously. He who practices the rosary in this way is at the source of true sanctity. And Father Bessières put into practice his doctrine. Very early in his priestly life, he was assigned as a chaplain to the sanctuary of La Sainte Baume, a lonely grotto high up in a mountain in the south of France, where St. Mary Magdalene lived for 30 years in penance and prayer. And it's there that Father Bessières learned to pray the rosary. A Dominican who knew him at that time writes, "During the long days of solitude at La Sainte Baume, he had taken the habit of saying several rosaries every day, sometimes up to six every day. He said it often entirely on his knees. And it wasn't a mechanical, superficial recitation. He put his whole soul into it. He tasted it. He devoured it. He was convinced that he found there all that one can look for in prayer. Recite each decade, he used to say, not so much reflecting on the mystery as communicating with one's heart, with the grace of the mystery, with the spirit of Jesus and Mary as the mystery presents it to you. The rosary isn't merely a series of Ave Maria piously recited. It's Jesus reliving in the soul by the maternal action of Mary." And there we have the fundamental principle of the importance attached to the rosary, the spiritual maternity of Mary, her mediation of all graces, which we saw at the very beginning. He speaks with great eloquence and love on this point. He says, "The more one is given up to Mary and her action, the more one is on the way to union with God and to relive Jesus. We must establish ourselves spiritually in Mary as a child in the womb of his mother. The more we are united to her, the more she vitalizes us. It is she, it is Mary who forms us." And he explains, "The Blessed Virgin is a mother and nothing else, and a mother of no one but Jesus. It is he that she brings to birth in the soul. All the action of Mary flows towards Jesus. One cannot conceive the least particle of her activity that wouldn't have Jesus as its object and end. It's her mission. Mary is like a great river which carries us to Christ." And so we must pray the rosary in the spirit. "We must not only say our rosary," he writes, "we must establish ourselves in the atmosphere of the rosary, in the contemplation of its mysteries, and breathe there continually the divine perfume that they exhale. In this way, the rosary is not only recited, it is lived. The soul keeps itself under the habitual influence of Mary. There, in the maternal grace of Mary that overflows upon it, with an abundance proportioned to its fervor and fidelity, the life of Jesus wakens, develops, and grows in it day by day." So now we can go on and recite the last set of mysteries, the glorious mysteries. Before that, there's one last song of St. Louis de Montfort that we can sing together. You find in the booklets on page 10 this time, entitled "Come to My Aid," because that's what we do when we pray. We ask God to help us, and we pray the rosary. We ask Our Lady to help us. So listen to it once through. I'll sing it alone, and then we can sing it together after. "Come to my aid, O sweet and divine Mother Mary. come to Mage. I sigh and suffer all the day. Oh, have compassion, I'm suffering greatly. Deliver me, O Mary, don't leave me, come to my aid. Okay, so it's not hard. I'll sing the first line first, and then we'll sing it together. Come to my aid, O sweet and divine Mother Mary, come to my aid. Let's try that. Come to my aid, O sweet and divine Mother Mary, come to my aid. Just listen. I sigh and suffer all the day. Try that. I sigh and suffer all the day. Just listen. Oh, have compassion, I'm suffering greatly. Deliver me, O Mary, don't leave me. Come to my aid. So we'll sing that together. Oh, have compassion, I'm suffering greatly. Deliver me, O Mary, don't leave me. Come to my aid. Second verse. O succor me, Thou who art full of clemency. O succor me, all is subjected to Thy law. Deliver me then, O Mother Mary, o'er this great cross. Help me to carry, O succor me. Speak, O speak, all is submitted to Thy reign. Speak, O speak, if Thou will it, I shall be healed. By us, O Word, You will break my chain, bring to an end all of my pain. Speak, O speak, by charity, Our Lady of Perpetual Succor, by charity. humility. Patience, please grant me all my help. My hopes in thee, not in any other. Show me that thou art truly my mother, by charity. Strike, oh, please strike, my enemy pursues and tempts me. Strike, oh, please strike. Crush him, trod him under thy feet. Your mighty hand will force him to flee. All hell is frightened, terrified of thee. Strike, oh, please strike. Okay, so now we can go on to the notation of the mysteries. Again, there's a little verse to sing. It's on page 5. It's very easy. You've probably heard it before. Just listen once. I'll sing it through, the first one. All hail, great conqueror, to thee arisen from the dead. Grant us the light of faith that we may in thy footsteps tread. Sing that together. All hail, great conqueror, to thee arisen from the dead. Grant us the light of faith that we may in thy footsteps tread. Okay, as the other days, then we'll kneel for the prayers and you can be seated for the meditations of the mysteries.